Mark chapter 8. So, this verse 34, the Bible says, when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also. So, he gathered the folks. He gathered the disciples. So, what he's about to say isn't just for those in ministry, isn't just for the disciples, but it's for all the people that had been hanging around, that had been following him. So he gathered them all together, the people and his disciples, and he said to them, look at the words, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, he said, you've been following me, been following me all around, seeing the miracles, seeing the feeding of the 5,000 feet, all of that. He said, but now I want to talk to you about what it is to be a devoted follower. And Jesus knew that he was going to lose some when he said the next words. He said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. And he probably lost half the crowd right there. How many know we human beings don't like to deny ourselves stuff, right? We really don't. It's the nature of the beast. It's who we are. We tend to have this thing that's inborn within us, even as babies. And you that have little ones that are growing up, you understand, I understand, that it's all about me, right? It's all about me. We don't like to be denied. We want it. We want it now. We want it on time, right? And sometimes we grow out of that, and other times it gets worse, right? So he said, you that would desire to follow me, he said, first of all, I want you to know you need to deny yourself. And he lost half the crowd, I'm sure, because we don't like to deny ourselves. You know, we go into that ice cream shop that will remain nameless, and they have all of these varieties there. And that is why God created little baby spoons. So you can taste a little bit of every one, right? Because we don't like to be denied. We don't like to deny ourselves. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, there has to be some denial. There's going to have to be some things that you say no to in order to follow me. And then he said, not only do you deny yourself, but you will take up your cross. And then he lost a percentage of them there because they knew what the cross stood for. They knew the Old Testament called what we knew as the cross in the New Testament. The Old Testament called it a torture stake. So when Jesus mentioned taking up the cross, they didn't want to have anything to do with that. The Romans had perfected the death of crucifixion. They'd taken the idea of the cross, which was ancient, and perfected it into the way of torturing people. And that's where Jesus died on the cross. So they had a very dim view of the cross. But he said, if you're going to be my followers, one, you'll need to deny yourself. And two, you're going to need to take up the cross and then follow me. Then follow me. And then he goes on, and it doesn't get much better if you're looking for a real fluffy, happy-go-lucky kind of message. It says, verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? He says, what is the comparison between the whole world and your soul? How valuable is a soul? Verse 37, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Will we sell it, as in the Old Testament, for a little mess of lentils because we're hungry? What will we sell our soul for? The soul, what that wonderful gift that God gave us in creation, in Genesis, where the Bible says that God created man in his own image, created woman from the man and woman from the dust of the ground. And then, in my opinion, God came down and knelt in that dirt and gave them the divine kiss as he blew into them the breath of life. And the Bible says they became a living what? Soul. We all, everybody here has a soul. Not everybody here has soul. Now, some of you do. DQ's got soul. He's got it. I wish I had it. I wish I had David's soul. No, that's coveting, isn't it? So I can't do that. But we all have a soul, every one of us. Every one of us, because it's a gift from God. And when that soul has a relationship with Jesus Christ, that soul becomes all that it was meant to be. But without Jesus, it is a shriveled soul. It is a soul with a hole in it. It's been said, it's a God-sized hole that only God can fill. Amen? How many are glad that you've given your heart to Christ and He has made your soul complete in what it ought to be? Amen. And how valuable is that soul? And yet Jesus says, what does it profit if a man gains the whole world, all the notoriety, all the riches, all the wealth, all the fame, and loses his soul? He said, that's not a good trade-off. And yet many are doing that, sad to say. They don't care about their soul. It's only about what they want and their desires, etc. There's no denying, etc., etc. But for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, for those who have given their hearts to Christ, Jesus said, you need to understand the value of your soul. It is so valuable that I gave my life on the cross. I died for you so that soul could be complete as I intended it to be in creation. Verse 38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And just as Jesus spoke of his generation that he came down from heaven to live in as an adulterous and sinful generation, and it was, he described our generation today. We live in an adulterous and sinful generation. We really do. Adulterous in the sense, not maybe necessarily of physical adultery, but the idea of playing the harlot, playing the field with everything except God. God's plan was that his creatures would worship and follow him, and his creatures have done everything but that, right? But when you give your heart to Christ, you are saying, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord, amen? Just as you say in your marriage vows, I will be faithful to you until death do us part. So we say when we give our hearts to Jesus, I'm going to be faithful to you and I'm not going to play around with the world. But we live in a sinful and adulterous generation. Yesterday, Cheryl and I were in a different city. And it is, in my opinion, one of the, not the top, but one of the top liberal areas in our state. And that's saying a lot because we live in a very liberal state. We really do. And yet this was, in this particular section of that particular area, was probably the center of liberal attitude. Everywhere you walked, you could sense it, you could feel it. And one thing I can say about Cheryl and I don't do this to our credit, I don't do this for our applause, nothing like that, but we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And we believe in prayer. And so we had to get a bite to eat. And so we found this little hole in the wall in this city. And no one was there. That ought to have warned us right there. But Cheryl, not ashamed, she asked some guy on the street, total, you know, stranger, where would you eat? If you live here? He said, well, yeah. He said, where would you, and you know, everybody knows if you want a good restaurant, ask a stranger on the street. Well, he was right. It was some of the best food I've had in a very long time. But we were the only ones there. But when our food came, we bowed our heads in this pocket of liberal, sinful, adulterous generation. We bowed our heads to pray for our food. Unashamed, if anybody happened to see us, it's okay. It's all right. Because that's what you do when you're a follower of Jesus, is you're not ashamed. Amen? And that's what Jesus said. And we didn't do that to embarrass anyone. It's just what we do, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. Don't forget your cross is this title of this message. To take up your cross is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not mentioned in John, but it's implied in the book of John. It's mentioned twice in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Luke's version of this passage, he says, take up your cross daily. Take up your cross daily. So there seems to be some indication that taking up our cross and following Jesus isn't just a one-time thing, but every day we need to determine that we're going to pick that cross back up again. What does the daily cross picking up look like? What are we talking about? Now, when we talk about bearing our cross, it could mean, and it does, and talking about some thing in our body, maybe an infirmity, maybe something that's happened in our past, or something that we have done that we've repented of, but the scar is still there. We talk about bearing that cross. And that's certainly applicable. It really is. But the cross I'm talking about this morning, and I think the cross that Jesus was referring to, was the decision to follow Jesus. Because that's what he said in verse 34. Whoever desires to follow me or to come after me, deny yourself and pick up the cross. All right? So it's this sense that when I talk about daily bearing my cross, I'm talking about my decision to follow Jesus Christ. To be his follower, to worship him, to love him, to live out that life in every day of my life. So what does the daily cross, take up your cross daily, Luke said. What does that look like? Well, I think it looks a couple of different ways. One, it's how we live. How do we live as Christians? How should we live as Christians? Should there be a difference in our lives, in how we live? Should there be a difference in how we speak? Should there be a difference in how we pray? I believe there should be. I am convinced of this. Can I say it again? I am convinced of this very thing, that if Christians would simply follow the admonition of Ephesians 4:31, they could make such a drastic change in their environment, their workplace, and their place in their family if they would just follow what Jesus or Paul said in Ephesians 4:31 and follow it up with what it says in Ephesians 5:1-2, and that is to be kind one to another and to be loving and forgiving to one another. I believe we could turn this world upside down if every follower of Jesus just was a little more kind to people. If we would just live with kindness and show kindness and to forgive one another and to have love for one another, what an incredible thing we could do, because the world is watching us. And let's be honest, folks. Sometimes we Christians aren't the kindest people around. Not you, first service people. This is what I'm talking about, okay? Sometimes we aren't as kind as we could be. And you say, well, it's justified. They're not kind to us. That's my point. Jesus said, love those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And be kind to those who are not kind to you. Jesus knew there was a key in kindness that could just make a difference in our world. Kindness, just being kind to people. And forgiving people. The daily cross is how we live out our lives every single day. When we go to work, when we do the housework, when we go to the school, when we're in the neighborhood, whatever it is that we're doing, when we drive our cars, Lord, help us. Under every speed limit sign on I-5, it ought to say, speed limit 70 miles an hour, and be ye kind one to another. How many know that would help? Amen? Just to be kind out on the highway would make such a difference in our world. Think of it. And you say, well, those other drivers aren't very kind to me. Yeah, but we've got to be kind to them. Come on. Amen? And if you want to pray they get a ticket down the road, go ahead. I'm good with that. What does the daily lifting up of the cross look like? In my daily life, It means that I am going to follow the admonitions of Ephesians 4, 31 through 5, 1 and 2. I am going to be kind to one another. I'm going to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave me. That's a key. It's so simple. It is so simple. There's nothing really elaborate about that other than the fact that it works. The daily cross, bearing that cross daily, it's how we speak, how we talk to each other. And that needs to start at home. It really does. If we're going to treat everybody else with kindness, we ought to treat our husband and wife with kindness. Husband or wife, not husband and wife, but husband or wife with kindness. We ought to treat our kids with kindness. Amen? How many believe that? And we ought to teach our children to treat people with kindness. And we ought to be kind to the elderly. All the elderly said amen. Amen. And we ought to be kind to the young folks. We ought to be kind to the young folks. And we need to teach them how to be kind. You see, following Jesus Christ isn't simply something we need to do at home. If we're going to pick up our cross daily, we're going to take it with us wherever we are. We take it to the workplace. We take it to the world out there where we shop. We take it everywhere. And it affects the way we live, and it ought to affect the way we speak. And thirdly, it affects the way we pray. When I've got a cross on my shoulder and I'm carrying it daily, it will affect the way I pray. It will remind me that a Savior took a cross and He took my sins on that cross so that I could be forgiven. And it helps me remember that I need to forgive other people who hurt me as well. That's what the daily cross looks like. Jesus said it another way. In John chapter 12, verses 20 through 26, Jesus said, "Unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it bears alone. It abides alone. But if it goes into the ground and dies, it produces much fruit." And He said that when He was approached by Philip and Andrew, because they were approached by two Greeks. And those two Greeks who were there for the feast and the festival said these simple words to Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." Philip brought them to Andrew. Andrew brought them to Jesus. And they said, "These men want to see Jesus." And Jesus said, "Unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it goes into the ground and dies, it bears much fruit." And it's exactly what you said, Randy. When Jesus went into the ground and died, He produced what we know as the church today. Praise God. But He resurrected. Amen? That seed was resurrected. And sometimes you and I have to go into the ground and die. See, Paul the Apostle said, "I die daily." What did he mean by that? I believe what he meant was, every day I pick up my cross and I start the day with the cross. Because that's what the cross represented. I die out to my own pleasures. I die out to my sinfulness. I die out to my lust. I die out to all those things. And with the cross on my shoulder, I go out into the world. Not that I'm perfect, because Paul said that I'm not perfect. But sometimes you just have to die out to yourself like a seed planted in the ground. And sometimes I can only imagine what a seed feels like. I can only imagine you take that seed, you put it in the ground, you cover it over with dirt, and it's dark. And what is that seed thinking? Okay. I was happy in that package. People took me and touched me at Wilco all the time. I felt loved and accepted. That family took me home and I went, yay. And then they put me in the ground. They put me in the ground. And they put dirt over me. And then they put water. And here I sit in the dark. I'm done for. And maybe you felt that same way. But before long, something begins to happen to a seed. Amen? It begins to crack. How many of you can say, "Yeah, I've been there. I'm about ready to crack." But in that cracking is new life. And all of a sudden, you feel the warmth above you. And you begin to reach for that warmth, reach for that warmth. And before long, you break through the clods and you see the light again. And before you know it, you are producing fruit after fruit after fruit. The seed has succeeded. Amen. That's what the daily cross looks like. There is a cost of picking up the cross. I wish I had a cross that I could illustrate this with this morning. But the cross that Jesus is talking about wasn't that beautiful polished cross like we have on that wall, that beautiful piece that was made for us. The cross he was talking about, even though it's similar, that cross over there is made out of worn, scarred 2x6s that we just nailed together one day for a play. And I didn't have the heart to take it apart. So we put it on the wall. And I don't have the heart to take it down. Someday when I'm gone, put me in the ground and just put that thing over the top of me. There he lays, right there. Because I won't be there anyway, amen? But the cross he's talking about is a rough, rough cross. The cross, if you're going to pick it up daily, if you're going to make the decision to follow Jesus every day, then the cross will leave scars on the ground as you carry it, because it is, number one, a heavy cross. A heavy cross. You may start out at the beginning of the day lifting that thing up and saying, and this isn't too bad. But by the end of your day, the tail end of that cross is going to be dragging the ground, and you're going to be heading home, and it's going to leave a scar behind it. But that trail is a trail of tears. That trail is a trail that said, you have done your best to bring that cross with you everywhere you went. And that trail means you were faithful to carry the heavy cross. Praise God. Number two, the cross will scar your hands and shoulders because it is a rough cross. It'll scar your hands and your shoulders because it's a rough cross. Following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. Well, Pastor, that's not what I was told. The pastor, the teacher, the Christian that won me to the Lord said, you've made it now. You're going to have a happy, smooth life. You can name it. You can claim it. You'll never have any problems. You'll have all the money you'll ever need. Everything will be good. Everyone will bow to you. You'll be like that royal couple in England. You know, that everything will go your way. $500,000 Jaguar. People would just give you to drive around. That'll be the Christian life. Uh-huh. How many know they fed you a bill of goods if that's what they told you? We find out the Christian life isn't that. The Christian life is one of denial and picking up your cross and dying daily and being planted in the ground. But the end result is out of this world, folks. We have heaven to look forward to. Amen. Praise God. But it is a heavy cross, and it will be a rough cross. There will be scars on our lives if we carry our cross daily, but those scars are okay. And thirdly, the cross will leave splinters because it's a painful cross. It'll leave splinters in our hands and our shoulders and our cheeks as we lay our face against it every day, living for Jesus, bearing that cross. You say, boy, I came to church wanting to have a nice, fluffy, enjoyable, sweet, kind of great, pat me on the back, cheer me up sermon. Well, you'll have to go to Starbucks to get that. And just add extra whipped cream, okay? No, the truth of it is, this is what it is to be a Christian. I don't want to paint the bleak picture, because I want to tell you this, being a Christian is the greatest joy we'll ever know in our lives. Amen? The greatest joy of all our lives. I don't know how many of you watched the royal wedding. I wasn't real interested in it, but I knew Cheryl was, so I turned it on. And I kept watching a little bit. It's pretty amazing. But I guess what really was the hit of it was the bishop that was invited to come from America that gave the sermon. What a sermon. I mean, preached about love and, you know, just what the power of love. It was great. It was wonderful. Well, I read an article written by another bishop of his same organization. He's from the Episcopal Church. And another bishop wrote an article, and it said, to the effect, he said, did you like what Bishop, I forget his name, but did you like what Bishop so-and-so said at the royal wedding? Then go to church Sunday. And he said, you will probably not have a sermon like Bishop preached at the royal wedding. I invited him here, but he was busy, so he couldn't come. But he said, and you will probably come into a church, and if you don't go to the Episcopal church, he said, that's okay. Maybe you go to the Baptist church or the Pentecostal church or the Methodist church. But he said, just go to church. And what you will find in church, he said, is you will find a group of people who have made the decision to follow Jesus Christ and to try to live out that love that Bishop talked about at that royal wedding. And you'll find a group of people that are human and make mistakes, but they stick together and help one another to try to make life better for everybody. And he said, you probably won't hear a sermon as good as Bishop preached, but that's okay, because you will find a group of people who know they're human and they make mistakes, but they have found the redemptive power of Jesus Christ that has made a difference in their lives. So go to church Sunday. That's what he said. Hallelujah. And maybe you're here today because you heard that and said, I'm going to show up in church. And true to form, you're not getting Bishop's sermon. And you will find a group of people here, and everyone here will admit it, that we are imperfect at best, that we make our share of mistakes, but we help one another up, and we are kind to one another. Amen. And we are tenderhearted toward one another, and we forgive one another. Amen. I want to end by reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Remember in our text, Jesus ended by saying, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father. Lord, I never want to be ashamed of Jesus. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, who knew what it was to daily pick up his cross and follow Jesus. No matter where Jesus led him, he took his cross with him. He put it on his shoulder, and he took it to the cross, or he took it to his life's work. And he says these words, which, by the way, were some of the last words ever written by the Apostle Paul. He would soon after this, Paul would be would give his life for the Lord Jesus. He would die by a Roman sword. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. And if I can add there, probably part of the suffering was taking that cross up daily and following Jesus. Because sometimes it's a hard thing to do, but we have to do it. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. That's what Jesus said in Mark. He said, if you're ashamed, I'll be ashamed of you. But Paul says here, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I am not ashamed. And I believe that what happens is as we take up that cross every day, that when we wake up in the morning and we take that cross and say, I'm going to keep it all day long, Lord. And we take it wherever we go. And during the day when that cross becomes unbearable, when that cross becomes so heavy and so rough and so painful that you don't feel like you can make another step, I believe that's when, according to what Paul just said, there's an unseen hand that comes and lifts that cross up. and helps you carry it until the end of that day. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He is our helper and our help in bearing the cross of Jesus Christ. When we decide to live for Jesus every day and take that cross with us, Jesus is going to be right there to help us do it, because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for it today. Amen. Thank the Lord for it today. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you for the wonderful presence of God that we have felt today in the service. We thank you, Lord, for all of the folks that have come to church today, our visiting friends, those we've just met, Lord, our regular attenders in first and second services. We thank you for them, Lord. And I pray this morning that each of us would make that determination to follow Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here today, Lord, who they have not yet accepted Christ as their Savior, but they have sensed throughout the service there's something missing in their life, and they realize now that what they're missing is a relationship with Jesus, I pray that they would open their hearts up to the Lord by saying, Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I know you died for me, and I believe you died for me, and I give my life to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and help me to be the kind of person that will live for you and daily pick up my cross and follow after you. Lord, I pray someone would pray that prayer today if they have never accepted Christ. Maybe there's someone today, Lord, who has been so taunted because of their faith in Christ. Maybe they've been ridiculed. Maybe they have been made fun of. Maybe it's hard for them because it works. It's a constant battle because they're a believer and they live a different life. Lord, give them the strength today to hold on and to take their cross daily, because they'll never know the impact they're making on somebody else. Help them to be extra kind and extra forgiving and extra merciful, because they don't know but what someone on that job that has taunted them and made fun of them will give their heart to Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. For someone today that might be saying that it's just too heavy, Pastor, I don't want to carry this cross anymore. Give them the strength. Lift up the end of that cross. Come alongside of them and give them that relief they need so that they will not lay their cross down. But every day we will take it up and follow Jesus Christ. What a joyful life it is to follow Christ and to know your presence. And Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for coming today. And if not before, we'll see you next Sunday. Thanks for coming to church. God bless you.